Welcome to Moss Marketing Mondays, aka the M3 Podcast.
Brought to you by Moss Marketing Group.
Bringing you everything marketing every Monday. Stay tuned for marketing tips and tricks you can use today. The M3 Podcast, marketing knowledge to help you succeed. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the M3 Podcast. Today on the M3 Podcast, we have four of the MMG squad and Logan, Ricky, and newest member, Parker.
What's up?
So we brought Parker on for his musical talent. So now we have an artist that we are going to hit records huge.
Heck yeah. Yeah,
this is going to be a...
Yeah. Actually, that's not why we brought Parker.
He could redo the intro and just sing it a cappella. Yeah.
This podcast is actually just going to be him singing for an hour.
If I knew all the words to the intro, maybe.
No, so Parker is phenomenal at content creation, and that is what led us together. And also the story of meeting Parker is nuts. And I have tried to make live Instagram stories about this like five times. This end up being like 5 minute long like stories. So I just jumped ship on it. And I was like, you know what? It'd be better just to go over it on the podcast.
There you go. Now's your chance.
I know. So story of how we came into meeting Parker was Ricky and I were in Utah at Vertical Union at the Muscles House, Keaton, and meet this guy named Cameron and talked to Cameron for quite a while. And we were actually talking with Sean Whalen at the same time. Sean walks off and we get to talk to him. And he's like, where are you guys from? We're from Kansas City. And he's like, I actually have a good friend of mine that just moved out to Kansas City that's looking for a job. I'm like, what does he do? He's like, he's great with content. And I don't know how many times I've heard that like, hey, my friend's really good at content. I'm like, oh, okay. Kind of blow by it, really not being like a huge deal. We end up getting Cameron's contact info and he starts a group chat with Ricky and Parker and it's called Hire My Friend Parker.
I know. I was like, dang, dude, that's ballsy.
I know. I was
straight to the point.
I love it. Ricky's like, yeah, I set up a time for this Parker guy to come in. I think at this point I hadn't even looked at the content.
Probably not.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I need to look at this before.
Should probably check out his page.
So I start looking at stuff. I'm like, holy shit, this dude's good. Like, he's real good. And come in and ends up everything works out. And I was just talking to Cameron on the phone yesterday. And I'm like, we went to Vertical Union in the mindset of picking up an account. Instead, we end up partnering and bringing you on to Moss Marketing Group, which is way more valuable than any account we could have picked up. Right. So very, very, very thankful for the way that all works out. And it's the world happens in a magical way and everyone's placed in a certain spot at a certain time. And couldn't be more thankful to have you here. And I think it's going to elevate content here at Moss Marketing Group that much more. And already just in like a week, the stuff that we were doing, I've been mind blown. So I want to take this podcast. I want to go over Parker's story. I want to talk with Ricky and Logan, just all of it about how important content is in the space, what got you into doing it and everything like that.
Cool. Yeah. It's actually crazy with that story though, too. Cameron was talking to me and he's like, yeah, I was literally like by the door. I was about to leave.
Yeah. We were like at the door.
He's at the kitchen counter, which is right by the door.
Yeah, I was like, how the heck did that even happen? And he's like, yeah, I just felt like I should stay for a little bit. I'm like, dude, you were out the door. What?
Yeah.
It's super cool. Yeah, and it's crazy how we met, too. Like, we were living in Brazil. That's how we met each other.
That's wild.
Both living in Brazil at the same time. Never would have crossed paths. Ended up in Utah at the same time as well. But, yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, it's super cool to be here and be a part of this. I think we're going to do some pretty sick stuff.
Yeah, connecting that many dots to line up to here. I think that's crazy when you look at making connection with someone in Brazil to lead to Utah, to lead to you leaving, to us ending up in Utah that I've never even been there before in my life, and us ending up at this person's house as this like with all of these high level people to come back and this all transpire, that at first I'm like, do we need another content person? And I'm like thinking about it and I'm like, no, this is all happening for a reason. I'm like, don't turn a blind eye to what's happening. And I think it's right now we're doing fashion shoots. You want to talk about a fish out of water? That is Dane at a fashion shoot.
Yeah. This guy shows up in a huge truck, cowboy boots, throw a cowboy hat on. Might as well.
I might as well just go full till. And we show up to this fashion deal and they're like, one of the girls looks at me and asks me a question. I'm like, whoa, I don't have a camera. I'm like, I didn't bring a camera this time. but it's some of the stuff that we've like already gotten into that is just so crazy that the content speaks for itself. It's cool to see content that like Ricky has worked on. And then it's Ricky is so good at that video and that like business side of content that you're bringing a whole new vertical to Moss Marketing Group that we didn't have.
Yeah. And that's what's cool about Moss Marketing too, is like you have a group of people who all do like their own thing really well. Most of the times you get somebody who does something really well, throw them into a company, they stick to whatever that company does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I could have come in here and just kept doing construction and car stuff with you guys. And
easy. That's my space.
Hey, I'm just saying. But and I could have kept doing that, but I didn't necessarily want to. But also I have all these things that I know I'm good at and I can bring to the table. And same thing with Ricky. I'm sure he's better at than, you know, video rather than just doing construction and car stuff, because now we all get to kind of do our own thing and it's pretty sick.
It's pretty cool, like in the content space. So we have Jaime with us now. We also have Jason with us now. And the content, the different styles of what we are offering now is so cool to watch, where Ricky, Parker, and Jaime go out and shoot the same thing three completely different ways. And I'm not going to say one way is correct or wrong or whatever it is, but it's all like we show up to this fashion shoot and they have all these like crazy lights set up in this deal. I'm like, I don't know how to use this. And Parker like gets up, starts adjusting everything. He's like, where's the reader at? Grabs the reader, gets on his camera. I was like, I'm really glad that you know how this all works. Because, but, and then you watch like Jaime with what he does and you watch Ricky with what you do. And it's, I don't know, it's pretty cool watching that. When I started Moss Marketing Group, I felt like I was a content person, and I now do not think I'm a content person, that I'm not on the level of what you guys do, like even close. So it's
how did you get into doing content? Where was the start in that?
So it actually kind of started with music. So I do music, and I bought a camera after I'd gotten home from Brazil to film like music videos for YouTube. And so I bought the camera, never really made a YouTube video, ironically. And I was in college at that point. So it was more like, I didn't want to take the time. But I ended up just like taking my camera on like bonfires and, you know, parties and stuff like that. And I would take pictures of what was going on. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of bored of that. Let me take pictures of the people there. And then it kind of just built up and just scaled crazy fast, because after that I couldn't stop taking pictures of people, and that's kind of like my big forte. And then I ended up working at an Amazon marketing company, and I did product photo for them, and like did that for tons of products every single day. And that's kind of how I got into the product space, and then ended up at an ad agency, did directing and all that crazy stuff as well. So it's been a long process. I mean, I think it's taken me about like 7 years now to get where I'm at about,
and I ended up on this very nice leather couch here.
Yes, it took me 7 years to feel this couch. But no, it's cool, 'cause it's a process, and I'm not even anywhere near to being done with it. Right. Yeah. Like I have so much more to learn and so much more to do. Like just today we were talking about this. I've shot people in like athletic wear or like workout clothes, posed and all that nice lighting and everything, but I've never actually shot people taking pictures of people like actually working out, as weird as that sounds, right? And then same thing with today, I've taken pictures of food, like all nice prepared, everything looks great, but I've never taken pictures of people making the food.
Yeah.
And like you would think in 7 years I would have done that by now, but no, it's cool. So it's a never ending thing. Like I will continue to learn and I don't think I'll ever be like mastering anything. Like I literally think I'll just continue learning, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I think that's the content space and a whole is always evolving. There's always another vertical space, whatever you want to call it. The content evolution in just the last 3 years or year has came so far. And I do definitely want to put this on Ricky too, because I want to hear, because where you didn't post anything on Ricky, Ricky was like, nothing didn't go on YouTube.
So I had a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. Right. So I want to hear Ricky's parkour story and how he got into content.
So it actually, believe it or not, didn't start with parkour. I know, surprising, but it actually started, my friend Alec and I were making what we thought were funny videos. Hindsight, probably not. RA Productions PK is what we called it. It was this big thing.
I'm going to ask for an editing tip while this is being live. I want that linked right here. I want a logo. I want somebody to be able to see this where I can go watch those, because if you have an extra 10 minutes of time and
it's
going
to take you longer than 10
minutes. Oh, there's some footage on there, bro.
Bottom of his page.
I'm just saying you're going to get 10 solid minutes of comical entertainment.
It's pretty funny.
After that, it might start wearing out.
Promise it won't. It's got some viewer retention on there, right. But
heavy promise.
We even sold DVDs at the school for a while with our funny skits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty big deal.
I want to know how many DVDs you sold.
At least two.
More than five, less than 10. Somewhere in
there.
We're
single digits still.
Single digits for sure. But eventually that got kind of boring. So we started doing what we thought was parkour. It was kind of in the middle, actually. We realized we're really bad at parkour. We were just kind of like vaulting over little tiny fences and rolling and cutting it to like some AC/DC music and stuff.
Yeah.
For some reason.
The way.
That lasts a little while. And then we started doing the funny skits again, but slightly higher production value. And that's how YouTube started for me.
So the funny part is you guys started out doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier of 2022, Dane still didn't know how to use a camera outside of auto. So I will air that to the world. But if somebody would have came to me like 4 years ago, I was like, hey, you're going to do something where you're going to be in like production and making videos and marketing, I'd be like, you lost your mind. There's no chance. Like, absolutely zero chance. And now I find this being like the most entertaining thing in the world. And even at the beginning of the year, like the first of 2022, if you would have said like we were doing podcasts, doing all this stuff that we do every day, I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And it's the content side I've found just to be so fun. And the more it evolves, the more fun it gets. Ricky, I feel like you've had, how many YouTube channels have you had?
So I think I'm on three, but one of my YouTube channels went through a lot of different phases. So I guess four.
Parker, how many YouTube channels you had?
I have three right now.
So we're tracking about the same. Zero?
How many you got?
How many I got? I have a personal. I have zero. I don't have a video on it.
I started mine yesterday. I got three videos up.
So. Hey,
yeah, right, let's here. Go, dude.
Well,
nice work.
If M3 Podcast or Moss Marketing Group, I don't know if I'll claim both of those. I did start Moss Marketing Group myself.
Did you start TDRs?
yes, I did.
Okay.
That's
I think you're at right three.
I will say that is one that we have that we do marketing for them that we should make reactive, and we could probably do a lot for them there.
You have a Square One YouTube channel. That's four.
Uh-oh, dude. You're passing us.
You might
us
be
up.
Passing us.
Oh, my God. I might win the couch. Oh, my God. No, but we've had people on the podcast that are like big on YouTube, and I think it's so crazy that you guys started off like so early in it. Normally, if we just need a good laugh around the office, we just pull up Ricky's old YouTube
videos. It's good stuff.
I watched one. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Dude, I was a kid who wanted to do that, but like didn't have the guts to.
Oh, yeah.
I was worried about like what everyone would 100%, say.
Same here.
So like I'm uber jelly of it. So I mean, I think it's awesome that you have that to look back on.
I also didn't know how to use a camera like at all. Yeah,
That would be
That's
helpful.
A big obstacle.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of making videos.
So the first camera that we used for RA Productions, it was a Sony Handycam that recorded on like the little discs.
Uh-huh.
They had to put the little discs in the computer.
That's sick.
So our deal was I could probably go to my dad's storage unit and find us a bunch of I'm not 100% sure what it was filmed on, but remember when they came out with these like blue action cameras? They're blue and black, and like the screen flipped out. It was like the first like action camera that didn't like skip when it bounced.
Yeah.
And we filmed all this stuff, but we didn't really know how to execute getting the film off of whatever it recorded on. Same thing when starting Moss Marketing Group was we didn't know how to clear SD cards, so we just bought more of them.
Yeah, no, it's full.
When I first started, I was super confused why you did that. I was like, bro, you know you can delete stuff off here.
I was like, I delete them on the computer, but when I put in the camera, they wouldn't read.
It was still full.
Yeah, it was still full. I'm like, I was like, I don't know how this works. And so I'm like, we're buying SD cards just like by groves.
Yeah, almost before every shoot.
Like I just kept buying more SD cards.
It was like part of the routine.
Yeah, and so we'd go out, we'd hit Best Buy when we're heading somewhere, buying SD cards, and people were like, I just thought it was normal. I'm like, God, I'm like, this whole like photography thing is kind of expensive, buying new SD cards all the time. And then Ricky starts, and he's like, what's on all these SD cards? I'm like, they're all cleared. They don't work in the camera. They're used. He just starts flipping the camera. He's like, you just got to click reformat. I'm like, get out of here.
Bro, you can even re-record on VCR. You should.
Yeah. So, well, yeah.
Now we won't ever have to buy another one.
That's true.
I opened up a drawer at the house the other day, so found like 8 or 9 more.
You should probably bring them in.
Yeah, they're just everywhere.
We could use those probably.
Yeah. Like, you know how people find quarters around their house? I find like
you just find
128 gigabyte SD cards. No, I think it's crazy just the progression of 2.5 years on. Most people don't understand when we started, we didn't know how to use Adobe on a computer. We did it all on a phone.
They were editing car photos on their phones in Lightroom. Hey, one at a time.
One at a time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it was funny. The first like big account we were doing it for car dealerships. We're doing all this stuff. And then we get this like big account there. Like, can you send over like raw full file photos? I'm like, what are you talking about? And like, the photo you sent us isn't full size. I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. It looks good.
Looks pretty full.
Takes
to me.
It takes up the whole phone.
Yeah, my phone, it looks great. And so then I'm like watching YouTube videos. I'm like, how do I export a full file? I'm like, I got to buy an adapter to put this thing in the computer? Yeah. How far we've come. And that's now why we have a podcast here about content.
Yeah.
The irony.
The irony is quite crazy.
So I want to hear both of you guys' take on content in the world that we live in now, both for like personal reasons, for like building a personal brand, and for building a business. Why is content so important for both of those aspects?
It's huge. One of the most scarce resources right now is attention. Everybody is just swiping through social media a million miles an hour. It's what they spend all their time on. You used to be able to buy a commercial on TV and everybody was going to see it. Now nobody watches commercials. Nobody's going to see it.
Dude, he pitched that straight for real.
Yeah, he did.
That was...
It's true.
He's been practicing. That was good.
That was way good.
It's true.
What do you got now, Parker?
I don't know if I can up that. No, I was in school learning advertising and they were like teaching us about like print and like billboards and all this stuff. And I was like, I live in the world right now. I don't know about you, but I didn't learn a thing about social media, and social media is literally everything right now. The space on social media is free, right? You get to do it for free. You don't have to pay a bunch of money to get in front of people. Organically, it's a little harder now. TikTok is like the only one that's really offering that, but like to get organic growth without paying money, what do you mean? Like, that's insane. Like, media is literally all you have to do. And like what you were talking about, like, it's way more important than most people, even I realize. Like, I make content, but I don't post my own content, right? Like, what am I doing? I don't understand why I don't do it. But like, if I were thinking about it more like a business, more like, you know, what we're doing here, I would be like, yeah, dude, you got to post like 3 times a day. You know, what are you doing? Like, it's literally everything.
Yeah. I think you put it well last night when you put that up on your story. If you like, you got to let people know what you're doing on social media. And that's the world that we live in is on these things. And if people don't know what you're doing, how are you going to grow and how are people going to help you out?
The funny thing is so many people have done it. Like, it's there. It's a proven process of what it takes to do it. But no one goes out and does it.
I also think a lot of people don't realize that they can do it.
100%.
Like, they think that for some reason this person either had some unfair advantage, or they're just really charismatic, or they've just always done media, or they're a natural or something like that. Almost never the case.
I will say, the more you get in front of the camera, the easier it gets.
Yeah.
That we're, what, in, how many episodes have we done?
This is 34.
I don't know why I looked at my watch like it was going to give me an answer.
Yeah. This is 34.
Yeah,
this is 34.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Go watch episode one compared to now.
Yeah, I'll go check it out for sure.
The only difference between those people or anyone's, like, people that they put on a pedestal and idolize, is that they've done it and you haven't. Like, they're normal people. There was a point to where they had to either A, do their first, whatever it is, business deal, record their first piece of content. Like, they just took the action to get started and just kept doing it consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. Person A has the thought and then they don't do anything about it, except still think about the thought and how they're not doing it. Person B has the thought and then they actually go do something with it.
Yeah.
Idea and execution. Yeah. You have to execute ideas for anything to happen. And it's, I don't know, you have so... Everyone's full of ideas all the time, and I'm very much the person that people have ideas and they pitch them to me all the time, but without execution, they're just ideas. Like, I'm cool with hearing people's ideas. I want to know a way that we're going to execute this and actually turn it into something. If you can give me a roadmap of how that works and everything, I'm the first one that's on board. Like, but I'm also very much not a person that listens to people's ideas just all the time, because there's people I know that just have ideas all the time. And it's, they come to me and they tell me a bunch of, quite frankly, now it's just bullshit, because they've had so many ideas that they've never done anything with, that it goes just in one ear, out the other. It's not stored. Yeah. This person only has ideas. But then there's people I know that execute everything. If they come to me with an idea, I'm like, all right, I'm hearing them. Like, I know this is something.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it earlier on our book review. I mean, if you're waiting for conditions to be perfect, you're going to be waiting a long time. It's like sitting at a stoplight and you've got this 5 mile road in ahead of you and there's 10 stoplights, but you're waiting for them all to be green at the same time. It's never going to happen.
Conditions are never right. Like, conditions, when I look at just Moss Marketing Group, let's just take one factor. I leave a very steady job. I leave a very comfortable job. I start Moss Marketing Group 2 days later, the whole entire country closes down. And everyone's like, shit storm. And I'm like, can I collect unemployment? Like, I don't know. What do I do? Like, I'm super confused. I'm like, do I say that I've started a marketing company and then everyone's closed for 30 days from now? They're like, hey, you've acquired no work. Like, yeah, no shit. Everything's closed. I can't acquire work. So then I'm like, I'm going to wait till things open before I tell people like I've started a marketing company. So were those conditions prime?
No, if you would have waited for perfect conditions, you still wouldn't have anything today.
Exactly. And it's like, these conditions are always changing. Right now, everyone's like, oh, economy's going shit, blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone wants an excuse of why they don't, why they're not taking the step. And if you're always waiting for that excuse, or you're always waiting for whatever the conditions are, all of a sudden, one day you're going to be 80 years old on your deathbed and you're like, shit, I never hit the right conditions.
Never made that video.
I waited 80 fucking years and never got the right conditions. Yeah. Like,
and that's a big thing for me. It's like, what is the alternative? So even if I put all this stuff out there and I take the time to do it, even if it doesn't work, the skills and the confidence that I gain doing it are invaluable.
Oh, I think about like 1,000 times over when I look at my skill set of what I have today in the last 2.5 years. Like, I never think about like if Moss Marketing Group didn't work or like anything like that. I don't have a plan B, but I just look at like personally at the skill set that I sit here with now from 2.5 years ago. It is like night and day difference. Like, so crazy being around the right people all the time, the right environment, like all these things, when they add up fast. And I look at my knowledge of content space now. I had no knowledge of content space when I started this. I was like, aesthetically, I just feel like I have an idea of what I want stuff to look like. It was like, and execution wise, I wasn't always 100% sure on what execution looked like, but I took action on doing something.
Right.
Yeah. Which has led us here today. And now all of a sudden there's 10 of us and we're same thing. Why I got Jason like on the FPV drone side, I feel like that's going to be something really big. I feel like it's already coming into this space. I want Moss Marketing Group to own that space too. And we're going to, and we're going to take a step in that space and we're going to disrupt it really, really quick. But all of a sudden they're going to be like, what do these guys not do? And it's going to be, we're going to have the best talents in every single area. And when you bring all this talent together, I feel like it's magic.
Yeah. And that's a huge.
Parker has a cool magic trick too.
No, I'm not going to do the magic. I did for a second. But something that I wanted to talk about too is like people tend to overcomplicate what you do too, right? Like
100%.
I do it myself. Like I'm like, oh, I got to make the perfect video. And most of the people we talk to, especially with like how things are going right now, short videos are what's winning, right? Everybody sees short videos. People's attention spans are near to nothing. People want satisfying things. They want things that like catch their attention. People overthink that all the time. They're like, oh, but my day isn't like special or anything. But like, once again, show what you do. Like people are interested in what you do. Just you talking in the car. People love that.
I will say that is the hardest thing I've ever done. As simple as that seems, that has been so, so, so difficult for me. And even when I go to the gym in the morning, most of the time I'm like thinking about that already. I'm like, well, what am I going to say when I'm trying to work? Like, I'm like in the sauna, I'm like, shit. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? I'm like, and it is something like so simple that I get more reaction from that than so many other high production, high level, like all these things. That first step that you want to show off that high level production to say that like, hey, this is the quality that our company holds, like all these things. But you look at, I'm trying to think of like a example that, Rob Bailey gets on his story and has the most generic, like, I wouldn't say generic, but he has like these stories, him like filming music, doing all this other stuff, just like we're sitting here, story time, whatever it is. And then he drops a video that's a $50,000 production video. That's all that like holds his page, but his story stuff is so just like, hey, getting on a flight, like having a drink or whatever it is, like all these different things to where I feel like story lives on one side. I feel like content that holds on your page forever is different. And that's where I had to kind of feel that different. Like,
yeah, I think we live in a world where people are always kind of feeling like they're trying to be sold. Like they're always kind of leery of that. Mm-hmm. So anything that's authentic, like personable, that's the stuff that people really grasp onto. And it's like, okay, they're not trying to sell me anything. They're just, you know, talking to me or showing me like what they're doing in their day. Like, That's stuff that I like to see.
And even if you are trying to sell somebody, they're a lot more likely to buy from you if they know, like, and trust you.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. People want to see stuff that they relate to too. Like if they don't see themselves in that position that you're in, they won't buy from you. Right. Like people buy from a business most of the time. I would say, I'm not going to throw a number on it, but it's like a really high percentage based on who the person is that runs that business. Like, absolutely. If you see somebody who's a total jerk, right?
Yeah.
And they're running this business, you're 9 times out of 10, you're not going to go and, you know, buy whatever they're selling. Right.
Yeah.
But if you see us getting on our stories, you're getting on your story. You're just talking, being friendly, being a dude. Like you're just talking about your day. Like people relate to that because they're living their lives too. Like, yeah. And that's what people want to buy into, is they want to buy into people's personalities, who they are, and we don't need to overcomplicate that.
Yeah, and I think it's very much people like to work with people that they like. And I had a conversation with a company today about having a face with everything. Like a face now to a company is way bigger than it's ever been. Yeah. That generic, people aren't watching commercials anymore. People aren't people are smarter now than they've ever been. People have been exposed to more now than they have ever been. To where you take all those factors, the marketing space has shifted so fast that your face has to be on there, and it has to be authentic and it has to be genuine if you want to sell someone. You have to truly believe in what you're doing, and you truly have to have a great product where, I don't know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, people could have a terrible product and sell it all over the country, and it couldn't hit everyone. If you had an awful experience with me selling vacuums door to door, whatever it was that they were selling, and I screwed you over, what were you going to do about it?
Maybe tell your neighbor.
Tell your neighbor. So what, that person right there doesn't now knows not to buy a vacuum from me?
Yeah.
I hit the next city, do the same thing. Yeah. City after that, same thing. Now, you do that to like 10, 15 people, they're leaving a review for you on Google, on Facebook, all this. Your company can be absolutely destroyed overnight because of social now. To where to really scale a business to what you want to do now, you have to actually be genuine about what you're doing. There's the day and age of like screwing people over, I feel like, is gone to actually become successful.
Yeah, I mean, there's literal consequences now.
Yeah.
You can't get away with it otherwise.
We play in a whole, it used to be the Wild Wild West, and we're in a whole new playing field. And I feel that there is an older generation that doesn't understand that, that goes out and tries to do those same things, and they don't understand why the consequences that happen. And it's like, well, it's because the internet spreads really fast. Like, good things spread, bad things spread faster.
Yeah, true.
And it sucks, but it's same things like, that's why the news lives by that stuff. The news lives by bad things happening. That's what gets views. That's what pushes their ratings. That's what pushes all that stuff. It's not like you turn on the news and it's like, hey, this person did this great thing today, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, there's a wreck here. This happened here. This happened here. No one really calls you like, hey, did you see the news about how awesome this person was?
That's true.
Like, you never get that call.
No, never.
You get that call like, hey, did you see the news that this happened? Like five people died.
Yeah.
Like, it's never good stuff. Mm. So I think that's the content that the news lives by. And I mean, there's so many different aspects of content everywhere. I feel like you guys just let me rant way off. You didn't rant me back in.
I mean, it's true.
It's content, bro.
It's content.
We're making it be relatable.
It is.
So you mentioned short form video earlier, and I think that's something that we would be doing a disservice to our audience if we didn't talk about, because that's definitely the most prevalent form of content right now. You know, everyone knows Gary Vee. They know these big content creators. They've gone away from all like still image stuff. They've gone away from, for the majority, long form videos, and they're just doing like real shorts. I think we can dive into YouTube a little bit about how that's having a lot of money invested into it right now. What would you tell someone who's like wants to do it, but hasn't quite figured out how to? I know you said keep it simple, but like what actionable steps would you give someone to start creating or posting their content, you know, today?
So are we talking like a business or an individual?
Either.
I feel like those are two different forefronts.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So let's talk about individual first. What I would do is say something or talk about some type of content that relates to what you actually do. That way that social media content can return you business and make you more money. Yeah. If that's your goal, which different people have different goals.
Should be.
I feel like sometimes on that, I talk to people this, talk to individuals all the time about this, is don't dive straight after the money right out the gate. You have to start building an audience first. Like if you have five followers, like you don't have an audience.
Right.
Like you have to create an audience. People have to actually be engaged with what you're doing. So if you come right out the gate and you're trying to sell everyone, like granted you want it to return business, but we're doing Taco Tuesdays, for instance. Do I think Taco Tuesdays are going to bring us tons of money? Absolutely not.
I'm hoping for a taco sponsorship.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I mean, that would be pretty cool.
No, like, we'll get there.
I think I something will transpire out of it. I don't know what it looks like right now, but it's... I've had more people hit me up about the taco thing, like, which is crazy. But it's something that is just so authentic and genuine that we're giving taco reviews. Dave Portnoy's with his pizza reviews. Dude has became... People all over the country, 50 states, know this guy from rating pizzas.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, how crazy that is. You could, like, Dave Portnoy's are like, Barstool Sports and what he has done with, like, sporting and everything like that is what he did. But he acquired this audience from, like, doing pizza reviews. Like, I'm not going to say that's his old audience. But, like, females started following him for pizza reviews that know nothing about sports and don't care about sports. And they're wanting to know what he says about pizzas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you go back on his page back in the early days, I think we've talked about this on here before, but his videos were rough. Like,
oh, yeah.
They were
highly edited. They're like, you know, probably similar to like your videos that you started with. You know?
The parkour ones.
I don't think I've ever seen, legitimately never seen a piece of his content.
What? Same.
I 100%. Also have not. But I mean, the man likes pizza. So
that dude is, I mean, very much like what he has done. Yeah. I mean, he created a billion-dollar company.
Yeah, and he did a very good job. He's a very good example of using your audience to take it to the next level and not just, like, kind of tapping out, you know, what you started with. Because he could have easily just, like, kept making, like, the little funny, like, bits or stuff. Now the dude's got, like, a casino, like, a gaming where you can bet, casino, whatever you want to call it. He's got multiple podcasts across all different industries, like merchandise, all of this stuff. He did a phenomenal job with it.
And his was very much a style of content that was acquiring an audience to watch pizza reviews, to see what was happening in sports, to being that like person that it wasn't just business. He wasn't trying to sell people really on anything.
He's just being himself.
He was being himself. And a lot of people think he's an asshole. And he's like, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not going to make everyone happy. But he was just good at kicking out content all the time that people wanted to watch, and he built an audience with it. And it's, I think some people think that their content has to be business related 24/7, and it doesn't. Yeah. Find something that people just want to watch.
Yeah.
Like, have them follow you because of that. You can trickle in business with it. But make it to where you can build an audience. And that's where I think in like real estate and like automotive and stuff like that, there's people I know in the automotive space that post like 5 cars a day on their page, all this, and I unfollow them. Like,
yeah. You get like 2 likes per post. And
if that, if like that, that right. would be high.
Yeah.
And it's like their mom and their significant other. But it's like when you look at that, it's hard when that's all they post and you have no earthly idea what anything. Social life, that person has disconnected themselves from being a real person.
Right, right.
That you've posted all kinds of times in the last couple weeks. The one post I remember is like with you and your wife and your son.
Mm-hmm.
He has his little hat on and everything. We were driving in the car. I was like, dude, that was the cutest little photo I've ever seen. And I'm like sitting with my girlfriend. I'm like, check this out. And she's like, oh, I want to meet them so bad.
Yeah. I think the biggest part of what you're talking about is mixing in the business with the personal is like building a personal brand first, right? Building who you are as a person. People will buy into whatever you sell. It doesn't matter what you sell. You could sell coasters. People will buy your coasters because they like who you are.
Yeah.
A lot of people come and work with Moss Marketing is because they like who we are.
Yeah.
Like they like the people that work there. They know that we're good at what we do, but like a big part of that is liking us. So like building content based off of just who you are, like what you're asking in the first place is just film what you do. Like as weird as that is, put like a freaking song to it. That's all you really need. You could post a 10-second video of you literally like writing on a piece of paper and people would still be like, oh, okay. So you do something with like filling out paperwork, you know, like people at least will start to get an idea of what you are and you'll get more comfortable with it with time. It's not necessarily like everybody's expected to be really creative content creators right from the start. Cause neither of us started that way either. Right. Like he realized he wasn't crazy good at parkour. So he's like, I'm going to kind of like switch it up, be kind of funny with it, and, you know, make the music carry me through this video. Like,
he thinks he's good at parkour.
I'm definitely not good.
But I mean, with how easy it is now with all the short form content, like TikTok changed everything. Literally, oh,
it did.
Literally, the whole game has changed. Like, photos are moving out of, you know, the current form of content, which sucks because that's my favorite thing to do.
Which, but I will say that I don't think they're going away, and I don't think that photos right. will ever go away. But it is a, it's not an initial drive into new clientele.
Right.
It is going to be still photos are going to live for current clientele. So that following that you already have is going to see those stills. If you're driving people to a website, that still photo is still going to have life to it, but it's going to be with a bigger following, and that following is going to come because of short form video. Yeah. That is going to be what these platforms push out to acquire new people. Yeah. The content space is just so big as a whole. And most people have no earthly idea how to execute even stepping into it. Yeah. And that's what we're right now working on, rolling out a like content help and social media like management type package deal where we come in and help with content like right out the gate. We help with their management of their social platforms, all this stuff, because realistically, the amount of people we work with that their digital footprint is like non-existent is crazy. Mm-hmm. Where they come in, they're like, well, we don't have a website. We only have like one social platform, and it's always someone has like a different one.
Right.
And based on like that person's age when they come in, most of the time you can figure out where they live.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I've really been pushing on TikTok pretty hard, and I watch Gary Vee and he says I should be on YouTube Shorts and I'm trying to do this. But I don't have Facebook, and I'm like, okay, let's start off, like, let's back it up. Like, let's build out all the platforms. That's going to drive everything better. That's going to build out this ecosystem realistically. Because as a company, you have this ecosystem of all of your digital platforms, your website, your Google My Business, all these things live together. And people so badly want to go and just grab one and think they're going to just make a business off that one.
Yeah.
No, go in, build out everything. Have a website. That's the home. That's where you're going to drive people. That's bottom funnel. That's where you're driving people all the way down to convert into a sale. Like, you don't meet any huge product company that they're like, oh, my top sales are on Facebook. My top sales are on my Instagram store. Like, that's not really happening right yet. It might be 6 months from now, a year from now. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't buy anything on Facebook. I'm not giving Facebook my card info. I'm not giving Instagram my card info.
Right.
I'll go to the website and I'll buy something. Mm-hmm. But that's that bottom funnel. Like, that's where you're driving everyone in to go.
Yeah. That is kind of ironic, though. Like, I think I would trust Instagram over like some jank website.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, it depends on what the website looks like, which
that's very true. Some websites I get on and I'm like, there's no way I'm giving any information to them.
Oh, 100%. If it pops up and it looks like it's like before 2005, they're not getting my car.
There's so many, and it just blows me away every time.
Yeah. And they're successful with it too. Like, oh, successful, right? Yeah.
It's a free term.
Yeah. They make some sort of money off of it, which is crazy.
But most of the time when you find those people and you look at their demographic of people buying from them, it's people that are buying stuff online pre-2005.
Yeah. Like, that was the website when they started buying stuff online. So they trust
it. They've never changed it.
Yeah, why change it if it works?
And they're like, we really don't know why we're not capitalizing on people under the age of 35. I'm like, I don't want this to sound bad, but I can tell you why. Like,
website sucks.
So then you like try to help them with website. And I have this conversation with Madison all the time. She's like, a lot of people don't understand the like significance of your digital presence. And she's like, these people have just made it by. And I feel like a lot of people have made it by till now. I feel like in the next 2 to 5 years, the people that just made it by are going to get absolutely steamrolled.
Oh yeah. They'll get beat out. It doesn't, it's crazy. Like, our generation's in a really weird spot because we have kind of grown up with all of this, right? We've gone through all the changes with the world, right? It's not just like people who are old, you know, the older generations, they're not gonna, they don't understand it because they didn't have to, right? No. But now they are starting to, because business is solely, not solely dependent, but it's majorly dependent on social media. And if people don't use it, how are they going to make money?
What companies did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago is so different now. And the people that are adapting to it are winning.
Oh, absolutely.
You look at the winners in the space, they're adapting. Like, we have a guy lined up for the podcast that is a real estate agent that stepped in, utilized YouTube, utilized all these things. The dude is selling more real estate than humanly possible. And it's like doing all these things, but he's capitalizing on his digital presence. And you look at these people that are doing it, but think about when a real estate agent comes in and takes $50 to $100 million worth of volume in an area. Who is that being taken from? It's being taken from the people that aren't doing it. To where it's like you look in every industry and the people that are winning, they're doing all this, they're taking that from someone else. That person that's been stagnant, that person that's like, well, I've done the same thing year over year over year for the last 10 years and it's worked. But you look there year over year over year, and it's like continues to decrease. And once again, where that growth pattern goes like this, and a lot of people think that's exactly the same all the time, realistically, it goes like this. That decrease pattern goes like that. You kind of see this dip, and then guess what? It drops off the map. That non-growth pattern and the growth pattern look the same. Yeah. It goes up really fast and goes down really fast. To where that's where I think a lot of people have that disconnect,
yeah,
of understanding how that works, and they're starting to get left behind. If they don't adapt really quick, they're going to be so far behind that they can't catch back up.
Yep.
Unless they pay a lot of money. I do want to kind of go over like just final thoughts on content, all that stuff, on wrapping this up. Dre's like running. Floors are shaking. What's he writing up here?
BRB.
He's going to the bathroom. He's not on the podcast. And he has to go to the bathroom.
But obviously content's huge. If you don't know what you want to make your content about, or you don't know what you're doing, maybe you're in a job that's like some 9 to 5 that you don't like. It's not your career. It's not what you're going to be doing. Start to build an audience so that when you do get into a different position, you have that audience that you can leverage.
Send us a DM also. Send us a message, something. I personally will help you figure out what you need to do to acquire an audience. I personally will jump on a call with you. I will walk you through what you need to do to start acquiring that audience and what content you need to put out, everything like that. I truly want people to succeed in every aspect of life, personal, business, whatever it is. But it's also like you have to figure out a way to do it. And I feel like a lot of people just don't understand what to do. And for us, it's a 5-minute conversation. A 5-minute conversation, we can take someone and switch up everything that they do, and they can do it with their iPhone in their office and execute it and change their business model overnight. So it's, if you have made it this point, I'm going to try to put these glasses in the link to sell, but
no, but just the plug at the end.
The plug is, if you made it this far, you've noticed that I never wear glasses. So. Madison told me to do it.
I have an Amazon affiliate link. Were those from Amazon?
They are.
I'm definitely going to put it down there.
They're cheap enough where I don't think we're going to make much money.
Hey, you know what? Since add up.
Amazon's interesting because it's also whatever else they buy in that 24-hour period.
True.
If they so if you're going to look into buy furniture, like TVs, anything.
You could buy a car.
A new camera.
Yeah, like if you're looking to buy a new camera, like anything.
For all the content.
Crazy expensive. Yeah. We're going to link below, get you a pair of glasses, plus a new camera for your content. But very much send us a message. We'd be more than happy to help.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're here to do. That's what this whole podcast is all about. Final thoughts.
My biggest thing is do content yourself until you can't, and then hire people who actually know how to do it, because
it's huge.
It makes a big difference.
I did content by myself till I found out I actually didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And now Parker and Ricky and everyone else are here. Final thought.
Just start doing it. Take the action. I mean, whatever it is, send us a DM, figure out what you need to post or what you should be doing. And then just stay consistent with it.
Action, action, action. Ricky.
I had the first final thought.
Oh, guess we're done with final thoughts.
Dane, what's your final thought?
What is my final thought is you should buy some glasses so you can see better. Actually, these are blue light glasses, so I mean, they're not going to help at all.
Still sees a little bit better.
In the long term, it could help because you're getting less blue light in.
Yeah,
and they don't look yellow.
We're on computers too long all day, so I got blue light glasses that I only wear via podcast to look at the very little bitty screen way over there on the far side of the room. And it does still have a red square around it.
So perfect.
I think that is going to be the M3 podcast for this week. And get your content right. I'm going to key Dre.
Thanks for listening to the M3 podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. Want to learn more? Check us out on Instagram at Moss Marketing Group, on Facebook at Moss Marketing 58, or on our website at mossmarketinggroup.com.